right. It's another episode of the Mostly Unstructured Podcast.
We're back.
We're back. Ed and Clay back on the mic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, either we are doing a pretty good job or there's nobody else dumb enough to get on there.
I think the latter, but let's roll with it.
We'll go with that. Yeah, we'll go with the latter. Let's just jump right in. So what we're going to talk about today are some trends. And it seems like it's a trend to put out trends every year.
Yeah, there is. That's a new hot thing.
You got it in like what, baby names or all kind of stuff, like decor.
Maybe we'll release like a trends of trends thing.
I think that might be a good thing.
Be a good hook.
And technology is rife with that, right? Mm-hmm. And we're big fans of deep analysis.
Yeah, absolutely.
Been around for a while.
Yeah, they do a great job.
Yeah, very trusted. They released their 2026 trends, mm-hmm. which we're going to date our podcast by saying an eight.
Right.
Today.
Right.
But the trends this year, they put out 11, which it, in itself could be a trend.
Yeah.
That they, instead of 10, right, you get 11.
They turned it up to 11.
It's kind of like finding the extra fries
in the bottom
of your...
Do you like those fries?
Of your bag. Score. Yeah. And this trend report is available to anybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so let's talk, Ed, about some of these. Again, we'll go in not any particular order.
Sure.
But one of the ones they suggest up front is that enterprise-grade AI governance will become non-negotiable.
Absolutely.
And I love what they say. They say that AI, as AI scales, chaos
ensues.
So does the chaos. Yeah.
Yeah.
And really this unstructured data collection is rife with opportunity for problems with security, right? Compliance issues. Let's talk about what is governance in general, when we're talking about it in AI space, like when we think of that, what are we talking about?
Sure. Well, I mean, one of the things that I would start with is, I mean, if you think about the roots of Keymark and the roots of how we serve our customers, you know, one of the things about the content industry is you are typically storing a corporation's most sensitive data. Most of what we do is in highly regulated environments around sensitive data. And so...
Like HR information.
Sure, HR information. You know, we get to... Patient data. You've got, you know, we're in a number of, you know, banks. And so you're talking about financial records.
Yeah.
And so when you think about those things, you know, we never go through a meeting with a potential customer without diving deep into governance and, you know, how things are secured and all of those things. So, you know, I think that with the hype around AI and the fact that at a high level, everyone understands that, you know, AI needs to consume data, there is sort of this rush to, you know, we'll just get the data, right? We'll just lift it out. We'll get the data,
right?
And essentially, you know, ripping off this governance layer that's been there for very specific reasons, and just saying, we'll just pull all that data over here.
Yeah,
and that's, you know, obviously wildly concerning. And I think to your point, as you know, people are in this kind of rush to, we need to stand up this agent, or we need to do this. You know, you're starting to find these kinds of chaotic episodes that are going to, you know, necessitate. I mean, you're going to have people from legal and compliance coming out of the woodworks and these organizations saying, whoa, we've got to have a governance layer. I mean, it's mandatory.
So when we talk about that, we're also thinking external and internal, right? Like, I mean,
for sure,
an internal standpoint, I mean, nobody wants the Trojan horse getting inside the walls and being able to get to your information. But even inside the walls of your organization, not everybody needs access from an agentic standpoint to query the corporate LLM, as we might call it, right? And go, hey, I need this, and I'm able to get somebody else's personal records or something I shouldn't have access to. So is that
to use your point about HR, right? I mean, it would be really nice if I work in HR or I'm a, you know, senior executive to, you know, be able to query an agent and just say, hey, I need payroll information for XYZ. Well, you know, without an appropriate, you know, governance methodology, maybe now we've exposed all the payroll data. Even to your point, if it's behind our firewall, you know, it's almost worse to me if all of our employees are now combing through other people's, you know, payroll data. So, so you know, there is, and it's funny. I mean, there are people that will look at this and kind of roll their eyes. But what has happened is, you know, there's AI has caused this just sort of, you know, throw, you know, the baby out with the bathwater. Let's just get the data. We're, you know, we have to show success. We have to please the boss. We have to say, you know, we've got this AI. And, you know, that comes with risks that people are only now uncovering.
So we're old enough to remember the old filing cabinets, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's more than just leaving the cabinet drawer unlocked.
Yeah, that's exactly correct.
I mean, version control.
Sure.
That's another element of governance. It's not just security. It's also making sure that what you're ingesting is being put in the right place at the right time.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
And then just having those confidence thresholds, knowing that what is being ingested is what we want, and it's not going to, A, create hallucinations, that we're not extracting stuff we don't want, right? Yep. So these are all part of the governance layer. And I think that's, it again, it's been a differentiator, right? Oh, we've got this, but now I think deep analysis is dead on. Like, it's table stakes. Like, if you don't have that, you might as well not be in the business.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've got two really significant risk points. You know, one is, you know, what we've talked about, which is data that should be governed and secured just being generally available, even internally, let alone externally. And secondly, you know, agents just spitting out bad data, you know, bad information. And, you know, that, again, both internally but also externally, you know, can cause material harm.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, the last thing I'm saying is, you know, AI is bad. AI is amazing. I mean, it is amazing, and it's only getting more so. It's that, you know, it has this core dependency on the data that you feed it, and that data needs to be not only accurate, but you have to have contemplated the security model.
So let's move into another trend, and we could dive into all of these pretty deep.
We're
going to cover them a little bit on a surface level. So another one of the statements they make is that knowledge workers will relearn to read, and software vendors will rediscover enterprise. So I love this idea that you know, professionals who we've all kind of developed this habit of, well, a lot of people have, not everybody, but summarization.
Right? Yeah.
And then just using that as your final word. And this shift backwards in a way of going, okay, I'm going to use that as a starting point, but I'm also, I'm going to actually go back and read some of this. And I think that's what's interesting to me about this is it's so connected to human nature.
Yes.
Like, we all left to our, if every, like, I don't think anybody would go, if somebody came in and just did everything you wanted to do to clean your house, made your food, made your bed, did everything for you, like, would you turn that down? No.
It sounds great so far.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
We can easily fall into a bit of laziness. And I don't know about you. I've seen that. I've had to fight against that myself. I'm not pointing the finger at anybody else. It's like really easy to go copy, paste, boom, done.
Yeah.
And I think that trend is true. I think people are starting to see the pitfalls of just that copy, paste, take it all as gospel. And then, yes, it's great to have a 20-page report summarized for you.
Yeah.
You can kind of, especially the executive level, that's wonderful. But at some point, there's a lot of stuff missing in there. We kind of create, what are some things that, like, you see that that creates but in that laziness? Like, what are we missing when we do that?
Yeah, you know, I think that's, it's such a good point because, you know, realistically, one of the things that we know is, you know, over the last 5, 10, 15 years, what's happened to the human attention span is, you know, and the statistics behind it are terrifying. And so to your point, you know, if you're going to allow me to not have to read 10 pages and you're going to give me two paragraphs and say, well, this is all you need to know, human nature is like, perfect. That's great. And I think, you know, what's happening is that you're your source data, right? One, it better be right. And I think, you know, interestingly, you know, now as you and I've talked about, particularly, you know, you as a marketer, when I go to Google today, you know, what I primarily get is this AI summary, right? Yeah, yeah. Which is challenging for marketers, and, you know, we're working through that. What I think is an interesting exercise to do is, you know, normally we go to Google to find things out we don't know. What I think is an exercise to do is go in and type in some things you do know.
Yeah, and see what it says.
And then read it.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I found is that it's kind of directionally correct. One of my favorite, you know, sayings is directionally correct. So there's a lot of good stuff in there. There's also some stuff that's just anywhere from kind of to all the way just not true.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the point that we're, you know, both trying to emphasize is like, look, it's if you don't get the source data right and, you know, have a means by which to determine that, you have an obligation to question that which you're reading.
Right.
An obligation. Yeah. Because to your point, if I go copy paste that with the, you know, with the intent of sending to someone of importance, for example, boy, I'm living with some risk. Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing about what's happening is, you know, people are just going, oh, I'll just use this LLM and
I'm good.
It'll all be great. And it'll be mostly great.
What's funny is I think we miss the fact that humans need training just as much as the AI does. It's not really the AI's fault. I got to tell this story. I have a friend who's in mortgage lending. And I said something about, you know, he's like, hey, what are you doing these days? And I was explaining to him. And he's like, God, I hate AI. I mean, he got really upset about it. And I'm like, whoa. That's- Like, what, you know, who peed in your cornflakes?
That's the hill you're going to die on. All right.
Yeah, like, why do you hate it so much? And he went into this whole story about he works with a large, who they will remain nameless, a very large entity who does underwriting and stuff for him. And he knew all of the people there that were processing loans. And these account folks now were using AI to pre-approve. And he was getting stuff back that should have never been approved.
Sure.
He was getting other things back that were denied that there was no reason for them getting denied. And it was the AI's fault. And I said, well, no, not really. It's said company's fault for not training their agents to still do the job they've always done and to pay attention to that. Because he made a comment. They know they could look at that information and just a couple lines of it and go, well, that's not we wouldn't deny that for that element of that piece of data. And so it's not the AI's fault. It's just, and I think that's, you know, important that we make that.
Well, it's, you know,
distinction.
So it's funny. So, you know, I'm going to date myself. So, you know, back when I still had hair, and I was, you know, heavy in the OCR industry, we would, you know, kind of evolved and, you know, now we talk about IDP, but, you know, as you would go talk to prospective customers, and say, well, you know, the OCR has to be 100%. It's got to be 100%. Well, it's not going to be 100%. And the funny thing about that was, you know, the sort of thing that you would sort of have to ease your way into with the customer is your people aren't 100%. I mean, we're taking what somebody is typing today, and now we're going to OCR it. Yeah. Neither are 100%. Mm-hmm. But if you do this and say, I can OCR it at, pick your number, 90, 94%, 95%, but you have a human look at that remainder, right? Then our chances of 100% in terms of the output are really, really high. And there's a lot of similarities to what we're talking about. We talked, I think, on a prior podcast about the idea of human in the loop. Your buddy's example is the precise example, right? Where, you know, what we have to guard against, though, is this sort of human reaction of like, oh, the AI is doing it, so I don't need to look at it. Yeah. And that's that can't be the process.
Yeah. It's that laziness factor.
Yeah. And I think that going back to our earlier point, it's that, you know, assumptive, well, it's AI, so it must be right.
Right.
If it had the right data, then it probably would be.
That's right. Yeah. And I don't want to say that those people are being lazy. They may have well been trained to just.
Sure. It's a process issue.
Hey, this is how we do it. And that I'm not going to mess that
no,
up.
No, right.
So, it is interesting how we all behave with these new tools and how we all have to adapt to them. So let's cover a couple more of these before we go.
Sounds good.
This one is near and dear to our heart.
Oh yeah. Yep. I know what's coming.
Yep. This unstructured data gold mine. And
now we're talking.
Yeah. And Deep Analysis is saying that the gold rush will finally begin. Now, I hear that and I go, finally? Like, where, what are you people doing? Like,
yeah.
What took you so long? There's plenty of people, I guess, like going, is where the gold lies, is in your unstructured data.
Sure.
The vast majority of your organizational's knowledge is stuck, is trapped. Why not? Like, what is it? It's got to be hype cycle blindness or deafness, maybe? Or,
I mean, well, I think, you know, I mean, first of all, I love the term gold rush, because I think you and I even maybe in this podcast talked about, you know, sort of this gold that our customers are sitting
in terms
of the unstructured content. And, I was visiting a customer the other day and, you know, explaining, having been in this industry a long time, the amount of time spent on, you know, trying to convince people that content is cool and being pretty much having to acknowledge that nobody thinks it's cool.
Yeah.
Till now.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, I think what's happened, honestly, is that we have for years and years and years taken in the idea of unstructured content is, you know, I store it, I may retrieve it for some, you know, period of useful time. And at that point, it becomes an archive, one that I may have to have. And so, you know, whatever. But what's, you know, what's changed is the ability to now reach into it for useful information, right? I remember getting a call, you know, many, many, many years ago, in healthcare, and we were talking about storing all this clinical information. And, you know, one of the questions was, you know, can I do a query for every baby that was born breech between X and Y dates? And I said, well, I mean, if you put, you know, breech as a metadata point on every document, then sure, but you wouldn't. And so, you know, there's always been sort of this opacity to the, you know, to the content store that's made it like, you know, yes, it's great. I could pull up all those charts and look through to find, but that's not what the ask was, right? Now, all of a sudden, you're saying, well, you know, I could reach in and find all kinds of useful information. I could add it to the, you know, data lake where I'm doing analytics against my EMR data and my on-base data. And that extends to, you know, think about claims, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got insurance claims. You've got all kinds of data in the line of business system, the claim system, but there's also all this information that got submitted with the claim itself. So the police report or,
images.
You know, the images, yeah. Right? All those kinds of things that those are in the archive and somebody could pull them up. Mm-hmm. But if you started to surface data from that in concert with claims data, well, everything from fraud modeling to, you know, anything else becomes a possibility. So I think as people are starting to realize that, you know, kind of the cheesy gold rush analogy, you know, there's gold there in them hills, right? That, you know, this truly now is exciting.
Yeah.
Now it comes with the caveats we talked about earlier. You know, you can't just go, all right, I had all this governed to particular segments of my company and, well, we're just going to reach in and expose it everywhere. But the fact that today there is a real ability to go in and turn that into useful data for agents, for analytics, for automation, you know, and so on. I mean, that is the gold. And that's why I think people are so excited. It's why we're so excited, because, you know, we've been working with customers for a very long time, helping them store all this critical information that we now can exponentially expand the usefulness of.
Yeah. So let's do a little bit of comparison really quick before we move on to the last topic. There are plenty of solutions now that would claim there's no need for intelligent document processing or ingestion of all of that data.
Yeah.
I can just layer it over. It's agnostic. I can, and you know, we know people in this industry, and it's great. I'm not saying that it's bad. I'm just saying it's different, and I want to point out some of that differentiation. And I think you could really help with that. So just because I can layer an agentic over a solution over the top of all of my content, and it can be agnostic to the platform, like I can just layer over that, and I can query off of that.
Sure.
That sounds like some people might go, well, then why do I need to ingest all this into my data warehouse or data lake? Or like, yeah, why do I need IDP? We talk about that being a first mile of AI and of intelligent processing for organizations. Where's the need for both of those?
Well, I think there's multiple components, right? I mean, I think when you think about IDP, first of all, one of the first things I think about is the sort of, always on go forward transactional set of content that's coming into the organization. Mm-hmm. You know, we've spent years and years helping people with inbound, transactional information, whether it was claims and insurance or charts and healthcare or, mortgages and banks and those kinds of things. One of the things that's happened is that because of the capabilities that IDP has today, you can expand the set of solution types. So, IDP, for as powerful as it was for years and years and years, where did it get implemented? AP, right? Mortgage, et cetera. And it really didn't get too far outside of that because as the volumes came down, the return on investment came down with mm-hmm. it because it took so much to get set up. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what's changed, right? Is the setup speed to have a useful IDP solution for any number of document types is reduced drastically.
Right.
And so there's this go forward of, wow, I can tackle more problems, with it. Then there's the fact that, you think about scale and performance, so IDP, a good IDP solution can get into the tens of millions, hundreds of millions of documents per year. And while that's not critical to everyone, it's certainly critical for many of the, many people in the enterprise. And so scale and performance matters. I think the other thing is, that I see IDP, that there is this fork in the road that I'm hopeful will, return to the mean a little bit, or at least start to get categorized, where I see IDP, kind of going like this, where there's, many of the new IDP solutions are undertaking the, just give us your stuff and, feed it in and we're going to magically read it and spit it out and everything mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. And the tools are great. I mean, they really are great. However, they work under a lot of assumptions. Many of them assume you already know the document type, so they don't have the ability to classify it. Yeah. Many of them are, using kind of these back-end open source tools that know what they know. They're not, necessarily scaling for production performance. What if you have a ton of document types? What if you have large scale? What if you have... So I like to think that there's going to be some categorization of IDP solution types, because this idea that there's now almost 500 vendors being sort of looped under the definition of doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's just not.
No.
Not only is it not fair to those of us in the industry, it's particularly unfair to the customer mm-hmm. because the customer is not armed necessarily with the questions to ask to distinguish, because, I think we talked about before, it will demo great.
Oh, yeah.
It will demo great.
Yeah.
But when you turn it on for real, mm-hmm. can it handle what it needs to?
Yeah. This is a good segue into the last one of the trends I want to talk about, which is the fact that they make the comment that purpose-built machine learning models will be making a comeback.
Right.
And that's an interesting thing, because you just talked about it. It's nice that, oh wow, you can just plug it in, and the power of, you've ever seen a real demo, not a one you just kind of referred to as marketing setup. We massaged it to do and we recorded it. No, like a real life dropping any kind of document in you, multiple types, and watching the AI, separate it, extract it, classify it. It's absolutely mind-blowing, and it does it incredibly well.
That's right.
So little training needed on that. But deep analysis is saying, wait a minute, there's a place still for those, you know, we needing the really predictable outputs. Is it going away? What do you think? Do you agree with them? Disagree with them? I mean, is there still room? It seems like there's a, it's not an or, it's an and.
It's definitely an and. And, you know, there's a reason we like those guys. They know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And I think their point on this one is absolutely spot on. The idea that, you know, you can just go out and leverage a very generic LLM and say, that's going to be my backbone of how I'm going to classify or extract or what have you, just belies reality, mm-hmm. right? I mean, we've done over the years a lot of work in the mortgage space, as I mentioned, for example. We've done work in the healthcare space. There are just, you know, specialty language in those documents. There's specialty content. There's, you know, there's things that won't translate well. There's, you know, so the idea that you're going to be able to just say, oh yeah, we'll just use this big generic model and that's going to get it done. And, you know, unfortunately, that's not only happening with IDP vendors. There's a ton of homegrown going on. So people in IT saying, well, I can go grab this tool and the LLM and I'll just slam this together. Well, okay, what if it's wrong? Did you build an interface to verify that? How are you going to validate it? Do you do lookups into your, you know, existing databases?
You're gonna audit it,
and that might sound old school, but it's I prefer to think of it as it's the learnings of production reality, right? And so when you go to tackle the problem, the idea of a purpose built, you know, kind of a, you know, to your point, that ML component, we know. Because that's been in place for a long time in the IDP industry. We know that works well, but there's also a reason why things have evolved.
Right.
If I can now marry these two,
yeah.
right? Or use things like RAG, right? Retrieval Augmented Generation, yeah. where I can, you know, layer on top this, you know, more specific to me, more specific to my business language model or RAG model that is going to enhance what that machine learning component does. Now I'm in, you know, kind of a utopian state in terms of, you know, the accuracy of my output. And the great thing is, as much as maybe I made that sounded complicated, the speed to get that up and running to do that is it's a small percentage fraction of what it used to take. Right? 10 years ago, if you wanted to do mortgage, you had to feed thousands and thousands of examples for it to learn on and, and, you know, et cetera. And that's just not it anymore. Mm-hmm. And so it's really, you know, it's the combo of the two that really unleashes kind of the full power of what IDP is about. And I think, you know, the deep analysis guys, you know, get that absolutely right. I think what we're seeing, and to be honest with you, a big reason for this podcast is to further educate so people don't buy into the magic demo. You know, the magic demo is what's leading to all the...
You can't spell magic without what?
You can't spell magic without AI. You know, it's... You know, the magic is what's leading to the 95% stats in the MIT study of, like, failures, right? It's going, that looks great. I got to have that. Yeah. Well, of course it looks great. But, you know, I think what you're seeing is people are now, you know, being forced to take a step back and go, all right, there's a reason that, you know, there are tried and true approaches to this. And I don't, you know, my hope is people don't hear that as stodgy. What I'm saying is when you combine the, you know, kind of the old and the new is when you get the next level.
Well, I know we're hugely appreciative of the work that a lot of these analysts do, including deep analysis.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we totally recommend checking them out. They've got a lot of knowledge and years behind them. So with that, I think we'll wrap this podcast up.
Yeah, sounds good.
Again, hope you learned something. And if you heard something brilliant, then just assume we planned it.
It's exactly right. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, man. We'll see you.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Sounds good.